Thank you, Raoul, for your continuous interest and support to trans issues, and thank you to the Intergroup to organize the seminar and provide us with the opportunity to comment on this really important study here, which is also a follow-up to a quite similar meeting we held 2 years ago here in this building. Transgender Europe welcomes this study, and it has been overdue for a very long time in our perception. We think that Professor Krista Tobler and Sylvan Edges have done an excellent job in analyzing the legal jungle, or that is rather sometimes a desert, when it comes to the rights of trans and intersex people under EU law. And we're particularly content to see that intersex issues have been addressed throughout, and that Dan Gattas from Organization Intersex International will also have the opportunity to address you later on this. Now that the study is published, it lays sufficient basis for European institutions and member states to actually act. The analysis shows very clearly that trans people are rather challenged by existing laws than protected. They're massively hindered in accessing their rights as EU citizens when it comes to political, social, and economic rights. EU law is actually lacking adequate legal protection and recognition for an entire population group. It is not an simply ideological battle over political correct words here. The lives of real people are at stake, trans people, their families, their peers, their social networks. They are real. Sylvan has very well explained that the gender binary is deeply embedded in our legal systems, which is a constant challenge for trans people in their mere existence. Therefore, also equality for trans people needs to be mainstreamed in EU policies and actions, and this has to go beyond just the Justice and Employment Department. The Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union and the Charter of the Fundamental Rights define minimum applicable standards, and human rights for trans people are no exception here. What we want are not bits and pieces here and there, but a very coherent approach. In this context, we welcome that the European Parliament has commissioned a study on the LGBT roadmap. Trans people challenge gender norms. It is therefore only logical and necessary to interpret that existent anti-discrimination legislation on the grounds of sex actually covers all trans people. When in 1996, the European Court of Justice already stated that the principle of equality between women and men applies to trans people as well. We still see that the implementation of sex discrimination legislation is actually lagging behind. We finally want to see results here. We want to see an improved access to employment that trans people have, and an improved access to goods and services. In this, all of us need less sexist gender stereotyping, as already envisioned in the EU Gender Equality Strategy. But also more progressive future legislation needs to be made in such a way that it explicitly applies and covers all trans people. The job market has been already before the crisis been quite critical for trans people. Many face unemployment and those risk impoverishment. Now they're even more vulnerable, and they're the first ones to feel all kinds of consequences of the crisis. Therefore, we ask for employment equality measures to be actually upscaled and to specifically target trans people and their increased presence in the labor market. We think that the open method of coordination is a very welcome tool here to benefit from existing good practices, as we already heard, for instance, in Finland, and that hopefully in the near future it would involve all member states. The right to life is a minimum requirement, so to say, to actually come into the position that you can actually enjoy fundamental rights or rights guaranteed by the European Union. However, for many trans people, this right is daily at risk when being harassed and attacked, for instance, in the streets. However, it is not yet a full hate crime law, but the recent EU Victims' Rights Package, adopted through this House, is a great step in the right direction. This directive recognizes and addresses the vulnerability of all trans people and protects them in their gender identity and their gender expression. Also, EU asylum directives now recognize that many trans people have to flee their home because of who they are. And it's interesting here that without another lengthy legal battle that had to end at some European court, it was possible to provide for legislation for all those who actually really need it. It shows that the European Union has possibilities to actually address relevant legal challenges effectively, if there is the political will to do it, of course. Now for the Victims' Rights Package, we've heard that it's on the Council of Europe to also, on the Council, the buildings kind of next door, to actually adopt the full package. And then it is, again, on the institutions to monitor that they are effectively transposed on the national level. And even though that the European Parliament has already called for better protection of trans people, and the European Court of Justice has strengthened trans people's rights since the beginning of the 90s, the EU still has potential to fully embrace and champion when it comes to trans rights. It needs to take up a coherent approach towards trans people and the issues they are facing, not only bits and pieces here and there, but the clear message of, yes, trans people belong to us in all their diversity. However, so far, trans people are rather sanctioned for being different. Gender identity disorder is still considered a severe mental disorder in all European countries. The European Parliament was the first, and so far the only, of the European institutions to call for a depathologization of trans identities. The EU has an important role to play here in the current reform of the International Catalogue of Diseases to finally take out these stigmatizing definitions while ensuring access to trans-relevant medical healthcare. We hear appalling testimonies from trans people in all European countries trying to access healthcare. Some are denied the most basic rights. Information about and research on access to trans-related healthcare is key here. As well, for many trans people, enjoying most fundamental rights hinge on the possibility to change gender marker and name. Sylvan already referred to that nearly all EU member states have respective legislation. Still, two EU countries, namely Ireland and Slovenia, do not provide this possibility at all. However, the majority of countries with legislation demands excessive requirements from their trans people. And we heard already what those include. And I ask, how is it possible that mandatory sterilization can be compatible with human rights in the European Union? How can it be possible that a family first has to go through a divorce with all the legal hassle and loss of acquired rights before one of them can obtain documents allowing them to travel or to work in another European Union country? The German Constitutional Court and the Austrian High Administrative Court have decided on these questions that forced sterilization and forced divorce are excessive and serious infringements of constitutionally protected human rights. Again, we have to ask, how can we require from co-citizens to obtain a mandatory behavioral diagnosis first before they can actually get an ID to actually get a job in their acquired gender? These issues need to be addressed and their relevance for the enjoyment of rights, with all due respect for the subsidiarity principle between European institutions and member states. However, current gender recognition has to be assessed against existing EU law in spheres of competence. And here we would wish for the EU to take a leading role in coordinating initiatives by member states that are introducing or reviewing or implementing legislations and procedures that are actually compatible with human rights. Argentina has shown us the way with legislation that is not only regulating but truly recognizing and protecting every person's gender identity. We have also compiled together with ILGA Europe a catalog on a range of best practices on how to improve the lives of trans people in Europe, and we invite you to consult those resources. To sum this up, it might be still a long walk until respect and dignity are achieved for all and for all trans people as well, but the fundament is here. And together with the commitment to make human rights a reality for all, can actually achieve it. Thank you.